magnolia trees at night, sparkling bright, fields of cotton love, wintry white, when it's Christmas time.
Welcome to another abbreviated After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. That is, if you do not know, Louis Armstrong from a great, one of my favorite CDs, Louis Armstrong and Friends. What a wonderful Christmas. It is Christmas next Sunday. I will not be here on the show. Elif Garris, the producer, and I are going to the Bahamas. No, that's joking. Elif won't be here either. I don't know where she's going. She's probably going to spend time with her family. Denise McGowan has been a friend of mine for probably something in the neighborhood of 30 or maybe even 40 years. And I have adored her as an entertainment entrepreneur in various places, as a performer in various places. I now adore you, Denise McGowan, as a writer. What do you think about that?
Yes, I've heard all those lovely things that you said, and I've been
That's all I care about.
I've heard all the lovely things that
Ladies
you said.
Ladies and
Thank
gentlemen,
so
this
much.
Is Denise McGowan. I think what confused people is a friend of mine from the fourth floor, Margot, I won't even mention her last name because she's very shy, who was the best baker in the Chicago Tribune, or Tronk, or whatever we call ourselves today. Denise, I got to tell you, I was beyond, I would have had you on if this were the worst Christmas story I'd ever read. But Eleanor,
well,
well, you know that we're old friends. Eleanor's Very Merry Christmas Wish is a charming, charming book. Before we get into who Eleanor is and what it's like to live with Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus and the elves, when did this, there is to me in this book a real spirit of old-fashioned, non-high-tech kind of Christmas.
Yeah.
I need to know from you, because I've never talked about it, is that your childhood experience?
Yes, and it's so funny because I still watch all of we. As a matter of fact, we just came from the Music Box where we saw White Christmas on the big screen, and last night I was in kind of getting over a little cold or whatever, and I watched The Bishop's Wife. And every year since I was a kid, I watch all of the classics over and over, and that is my experience, and that's why I love it. And I think we're in such an age of cynicism, and it's so easy to be sarcastic, and it's so easy to, you know, bad Santa, and they're all very clever, but I think especially for children, but I'm finding out since I wrote this book, a lot of grandparents and parents are saying, no, we need this kind of a story, because we're losing, even at Christmas, that kind of old-fashioned and sitting around with cocoa and storytelling, and that's really why I wanted to write this book.
The book comes from, as I understand it, stories that you used to tell, correct? I mean, that you would...
Well, I would tell... Yes, when my nieces and nephews were growing up, this came out of it, and the actual germ of the story is not probably as warm and fuzzy and old-fashioned as it should be, but I was watching Santa one day with boys and girls up with him, and I was just kind of standing and watching the whole process because I find it fascinating. And there was one little girl, and she was on Santa's lap, and she's like, "And don't bring me this, and don't bring me that, and last year you brought me this." And I looked at the person I was with, and I went, "Oh my God, I really feel sorry for the toy that gets that kid." And it was like a kind of a funny, like, and from there I thought, oh, let's flip this story and let's not have a little boy or a girl wishing for a toy. Let's think what it would be like to be up at the North Pole and have a toy telling us the little boy that they'd like as a friend and the home they'd like to be in. And so that's really, it came from kind of a not charming little lovely experience.
Sure.
Excuse me. But it turned into, like, I didn't want it to be another jaded, tongue-in-cheek, you know, ha-ha, inside joke, because I think we have enough of that. And I love that. You know, at Monday Night Live, I kind of have fun with my humor. But for this book and for Christmas, I really think we should be nice and special and kind.
It's an unbelievably sensitive story.
Thank you.
And I have seen you. You know, Denise runs along with the great Becky Menzie at Pettirino's live every Monday. You having a show tomorrow?
We are. We actually are sold out with 8 cast members from Phantom of the Opera joining us tomorrow night.
Wow.
So we're very excited.
And that's been going on for, all right, it always shocks me.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
All right, so you were inspired to tell this story by a crazy, self-indulgent little girl sitting on Santa's lap. How does the story become a book, Denise? When do you make that leap? Because even it is not a long book, ladies and gentlemen. You could read it to your kids in 15, 20 minutes. But when do you make that leap and say, I'm going to sit down and I am going to write this story about a little rag doll named Eleanor who lives at the North Pole. And though she loves life at the North Pole, she wants to have a home on Earth.
Right.
On
Earth. Right.
So it's, when do you...
Well, you know, I sat down. It was fun because I told the story to several people, and someone said, you've got to write that down. It's such a great idea. And so I think one cold winter Sunday afternoon, I sat down and I wrote it, but then it sat there for a while.
Yeah.
It just sat because I thought, I'm not an author. I don't know how to do this.
Sure.
And then along came the world of, you know, my wonderful husband, Ed Tracy. Mm-hmm. And several years ago, he encouraged me. He said, let's put this together, and we printed 100, and we gave them away. That was our Christmas card that year.
Oh, how
nice. So we literally sent them out as Christmas cards. He said, let's get it out of your computer. Let's just tell the story. We had some very simple artwork. A friend
of
ours,
Andrea. Who did this artwork? I find the artwork wonderfully simple.
Yes. Well, Andrea Liss, who actually does wonderful invitations and things, works on projects with me. She did the cover art for me. And then we had someone else who works where the book is actually produced, mm-hmm. who did the internal art for us. And I thought they all did remarkable jobs for
it's
us.
Very
it's so simple. And, you know, because it's really, to me, what I said was, please don't make the art the story, because I want boys and girls to be able to, and moms and dads and grandmas, I want them to paint their own picture with it. So I wanted the artwork to be there just to be intriguing, but I wanted little boys and girls to be able to kind of envision it the way they want it to.
Yes,
so
because
again, when you tell a story, you
exactly.
want to create
sure.
the world the you child want, wants.
Well, and you want the kids to use their imagination. I'm talking to Denise McGowan Tracy, the author of Eleanor's Very Merry Christmas Wish, that can be, you can just go to eleanorswish.com to learn more about it. The nice thing, Denise, before we take a break, and then I'm going to talk to you about the book itself, is the only drawing of Eleanor in here is a tiny, 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 tiny
yeah.
little drawing, and I think that is so appropriate. It's when she finally finds a home.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
That, too, is Louis Armstrong, if you don't know, and that song was written by Irving Just Berlin like while he was sitting next to a swimming pool in Beverly Hills. So there. I know you know that, Denise. McGowan Tracy,
too.
The author of Eleanor's Very Merry Christmas Wish. Eleanor, kind of, not to... Eleanor lives at the North Pole, and she kind of got sort of screwed over when a girl wrote a girl wrote a letter saying that she wanted a doll, but then the girl changed her mind and said that she was much too old for a doll, and Santa couldn't send her to the home because she was no longer wanted. She has a pretty good life, does she not? I mean, I'm envious of her life at the North Pole. You know, the cookies and playing with the reindeer.
And
she's got these elves who are her friends. But she does have a good life there, right?
Look, I think she has a wonderful life. Again, it's, you know, I love the gift wrapping station. You know, we always hear about the toy shops.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always about the, I love to wrap the gifts as much as I love buying gifts for people. So that's why I wanted the gift wrapping station to be kind of her really favorite place. But baking cookies with Mrs. Claus, who wouldn't love it? Playing reindeer games with reindeer?
I know.
Red light, green light, please. Are you kidding? You know?
I know.
So these are, of course it's great, but as she looks around, she realizes, you know, Cookie has Santa and, you know, Sprinkle has Sparkle, and they all have their roles there. And
she's the odd doll out, yeah.
But she is the odd doll out. So that's not really, that's not where she's supposed to be, but it's a wonderful place to be until she finds where. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us. You know, we are maybe not where we're supposed to be, but what a great place we're in right now until we get there. So I think there's a lot of underlying things that I don't even think I knew when I was writing the book, but people point them out to me.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
You know,
I think one of the charming elements of this 26 page book are the letters. Especially charming is the letter that Eleanor writes to Santa.
Yeah. Well, she realized, you know, and again, I think this is someone, instead, she stops wishing one night and she realizes, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm supposed to do something, you know, that mine's a very unusual situation. Maybe wishing isn't enough. So she, in fact, writes a letter to Santa, and she's very sensitive to the fact that this could be hurting Santa's feelings, that as much as she loves it there, she'd like to find something else. And it really, that begins, that letter to him begins her finding out why she's still there. She never knew why she was left behind.
Yeah.
And so it's an explanation for her. And then it begins her journey and kind of almost a better place for her, understanding why she's there. And so she can be patient until the right thing comes along.
Until another letter comes from a little girl named Noelle of all places, Denise McGowan, Tracy, Chicago.
Oh. What are the odds?
I was thinking at some point near the end of the book, I was starting to get sort of sad, thinking, oh, my God, she's going to miss Santa all the time. And then, but Santa visits every year. He visits that house and visits her. I was thinking somehow that Pettirino's was going to wind up here. Somehow that, you know, Santa and Mrs. Claus, that Eleanor would grow
having
up. It would grow up and eventually buy them dinner at this. Denise, the people you've given this to as a gift and the people who have bought it, and you certainly can buy it by going to eleanorswish.com and probably. You have a Facebook page for Eleanor's Wish.
Yes, and you can also purchase it on Amazon.
Oh, great.
It is available on Amazon. And what I do love is that it's also for people who are downtown. The Barbara's Bookstore right at Northwestern Memorial Hospital has copies also.
That's
great. So you can purchase it in person there on Amazon or through the website. Lots of ways to purchase. And we have hardcover and softcover.
I have to believe that I am not the only one to rave about this book. The response to this, especially from your friends who you and Ed sent this to, is the most lavish Christmas card ever created, must love it. But have you heard from people that they are? I love the whole notion of reading it aloud to young people and, you know, sort of family gatherings. I like that tradition.
Yeah, I love that too, and that's what I tell people. Please, it's right in the foreword of the book. Is please read this and do the voices. You know, whatever you think Sprinkle and Sparkle the elves would sound like, bring it to life. Let the kids, you know, use the voices. But I have heard, and what's so interesting, Rick, is things again that I didn't think of when I was hearing when I was writing it. But friends who are foster parents. Friends who are adoptive parents, they're saying this is such a wonderful book for these kids. And so I've had so many people, I've had men come up and tell me, like, I cried like a baby. You know, it's been so great. I'm so glad we got it out of the computer and into people's hands.
Me too.
And
me too.
Published. It's great. It's really exciting for me.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, Denise McGowan. Tracy. And Merry Christmas to Eleanor, the coolest kid I've met in some time. And she's not really a kid. She's a doll.
No, she's a rag doll.
She's pretty real to me, Denise. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right,
Thanks
honey.
For
take
everything.
Care. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
We'll
Stay
take
warm.
A little, okay, I'll try. We'll take a little commercial break, and then we will talk about American Bandstand.